Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Ayin. We begin 12 lines from the top of the Amud. So we connect back to yesterday where we learned that once the firstborn kosher animal, the Bechor, is mostly born, so it's, 51% of the calf, of the goat, of the sheep comes out, that constitutes the later, the birth experience. And now the Bechor acquires his Kedusha, his sanctity, meant to be given to a Kohen and offered as a carbon. But Rabbi, it comes an interesting question. So until you get to the past the 50% mark, it is not considered born and doesn't yet have Kedusha. Boy, Rabbi, here comes an interesting question. Rashi explains like this. Suppose, 51% of the animal came out. Now, within that 51%, you have a limb, let's say a foot, which in itself, only a small portion of that foot came out, 49%. Can you count that section of the foot, which is only a minority portion of that foot, count it into the 51% of the totality of this animal to get you that majority, to get you the right, so that it's considered born? Holchu be'ivaren achar haroiv oiloi holchu. Be'ivaren achar haroiv, with respect to ivaren, limbs, parts, do you apply the majority rule to it or not? Asks the Gemara, what exactly are we talking about? Hechidami, can you present the scene, please? Elaim, always speaking, kigoyim, shiyotza roiv, that you have a majority of the bigger animal, b'miut eiver, but within that majority, you have an eiver, who only part of that eiver, a small part of that eiver, had already come out. Okay, so this newborn is mostly out, but in that most, you have a limb which is only partly out. Become a boy, and the question is, hi mute, this minority portion, the baroi of the leg which came out, what do you connect it to? Who does he identify with? What do you attribute him to? Does he connect to the greater picture of the animal at large? In which case you say, well, with him we have 51%. Good to go. Or do you say, no, he connects his own self to the majority element of his own self, his own foot. Since most of him is inside, talking about the leg, even the part that came out is considered like it's still inside. And you don't have a majority. You don't have anything to push you past the 50% mark. Hai miut de baroi, this minority, part of the leg which is outside, basar roiv de ever shadinulay, does he connect? Does he identify? Do you attribute him to the majority of the leg itself? In which case, he's still considered inside. You don't have him as part of your tally. Oi basar ruba de uber shadinulay, or perhaps you attribute him to the rest of the animal, the bigger picture. And you can count him in and consider him as part of the majority element of the Ubar, and you have a birth. Pshita, of course, says the Gemara. Of course, who looks at the small picture? Of course, you always look at the big picture, right? Pshita, the Loishaf Kinen, we don't ignore Ruba the Ubar, the majority factor of the Ubar, of the greater animal here at large. Vazlinan, and prefer relating to the leg. Basa Roiv Aver. And, follow, connect, identify with the majority portion of the leg itself. No, of course not. So now you have what you want. You have the piece of the leg that's outside that connects to the greater animal here. You have roif. That's no question. Ella, rather, if there was a question, it must have been as follows. A more tricky type of scenario. El kigoyin shiyotzer chetzi. What happened was, only 50% of the Uber was born. Beroyev Aver. And in that 50%, you have a leg which is mostly out. Now, usually in the Torah, we go with the Aloch of Roiv, right? So now you can say, perhaps, that since most of this leg is outside, even the rest of the leg is drawn, follows the Roiv of that leg, and now you have more than you think. So you can count even that part of the leg that's inside, you count it as though it came out. It follows the majority of its leg, and now it pushed you past the 50% mark. The question is, that minority portion of the leg that's still inside, mao. What about lemishdai basarev aver, to connect it to the majority element of the foot itself? Consider it born, and now you're past the 50-yard line. Toshma, let's try to prove this from our Mishnah, where it says Yotzarubo, if most of the newborn came out, Harizi cover, it has Kedusha, but dies, you have to bury it. My Rubai, now what does majority mean? A simple majority? A clear majority? Ilay Rubai Mamish, a literal majority without any strings attached. Well, it's old news. We all know that Roiv is a deciding factor regarding halachas of the Torah. Ad hashd until today, Lo Yashmina Rubai Kuli, we never heard that majority is like considered like the entire thing. It can't be speaking about such a simple case. It must be a more complex case, such as the case we're talking about here today. Allah, it must be going Shiyotza Chetzi Brave Aver. Apparently, we're speaking about this very case. 50% of the animal came out, amongst which we have this leg which is mostly out, and the Mishnah seems to say that, yeah, we can count the small portion that's still inside as though it came out, and you pass the 50-yard line. Loi, no, says the Gemara, King Shiyotza Rubai Mut Aver. Perhaps the Mishnah is speaking about a complex case, but not this one. Perhaps the first case that we discussed, 51% came out, amongst which we have a small portion of a leg. The Kamash one, the point of the Mishnah is to teach us that we look at the greater picture, we look at the big picture. The Loi Shavkin Ruba, the Uber, we don't abandon, we don't ignore, we don't neglect the majority factor in terms of the entirety of the newborn, the Behema. Vazlin Masa Ever, and focus on the leg itself. We don't do that. We look at the big picture, and whatever is out is out. Even you can even count into your tally the small part of this leg that's outside, because despite the fact that most of this leg is inside, we ignore that. We attribute it to the rest of the Uber, which is outside. We look at the big picture, and now you have 51%, and you're good. Okay, so in summation, Rav had a question regarding how to apply the majority rule to a limb that had exited with the rest of the Uber. We had two possible scenarios, in the case where it was 50%, case which was more than 50%, we thought we had arrived at the Mishnah to the more complex case, concluded that the Mishnah perhaps is speaking about the more simple case, not an outright simple case like a real straight-out majority, but we're speaking that it's Roiv, amongst which we have a small piece of a leg, and we say, look, it connects to the rest of the animal, which is now, in totality, 51% outside, and you have Roiv. Here come another couple of interesting, unlikely scenarios regarding what constitutes the act of birth. The Torah says that the Bechor is Peter Rechem. Peter means it opened up, it traveled through the channel, the womb, the channel, the birth channel of the mother animal. Boy, Rabba. According to some, it's Rabba. Have a shayla, karchay besiv. Suppose the newborn didn't really come into contact with the walls of the channel, because he wrapped it with a sieve, with some sort of fiber that grows in the bottom of the palm tree. He wrapped it up to keep it warm, and that's how it came out. But talisimau, or wrapped it in his garment. B'shal yasimau, suppose he wrapped it in the embryonic sack. Well, that's normal, b'shal yasai. If he wrapped it in the shulyal, ruchi, that's the regular way of that birth happens, so it's not considered a chatzita, it's not a interference, it's not a barrier, it's the same type. It's like min b'mina, two things of the same type, that's not considered. So there's no question there. Ella b'shul ya'acheres ma'o. Oh, what happened was he got a hold of another sack and he came in there and wrapped this one. So it's not his own sack. Nope. Is that considered a chatzitza? which gets in the way, in which case it's not a proper birth, not a proper peter rechem to be considered a bechor. The midwife, the farmer over there, she wrapped the newborn animal with her hands to keep it safe, keep it warm, and she took it out like that. Ma, what's the aloch? Rashi says, well, I mean, what are the factors here? Perhaps since it's urchayu, that's the way they do it. You know, you go in there, you help the animal give birth, so perhaps it's not considered eichat sitzo. Maybe it is. Says the Gemara, hold it. Hey Chidami, how did the newborn animal come out? Did it come out head first? So that once the head comes out, Patrase, did Petarechem, it already came out. Patrase is Lashonav. He passed through the channel. He opened up the... So once the head is out, it's considered a full birth, irrespective of what happens, you know, with the rest of the body behind him, wrapped or no wrapped. Rather, he came on feet first. So his feet started coming out, and then she came in and wrapped up the rest of the body, including the head. There was no direct contact between himself and the rechem as he was coming out. So that's the shayla. Next question. It gets more and more exotic. Balasu, so the unborn animal, as it's coming out, was swallowed by a chulda, by a weasel, vatsiyas, and she took him out like that. Ma, what's the halacha? So he came out, but he didn't... interact with the birth channel as he was coming out. He was, well, let's see, also, if the chula took him out, how fictish took him out? What do you mean? We already discussed all these types of, you know, non-contact births. I mean, it's just another variation. Ella, rather, no, bal asoy, vatsi asoy. What happened was, it doesn't end there. The chula swallowed up the unborn, took him out, and then Michnesasi decided, okay, she had enough for today. She reinserted the unborn into the mother animal, and then Vikiyasa and spit him out in there, Vyatsim Elman, then he was born properly. Shall we say, okay, it's Petarechem, or perhaps it's too late, you got only one chance. Next case, Hidbik Shnei Rochamim, this is really exotic, he took two wombs and he put them adjacent side by side, Vyatsim Zev Nechlan Zev Mao, and the newborn came out from one animal into the other animal. Mao, what happens now? After he's born out of the second animal. So, at the end of the day, he was born from a peterech, from a rechem. Shall we say, the day patar? The womb can only make patar on its own. It's only considered a proper laid on its own. Not its friend's animal. The lavdi day, but it's not its own animal, a patar. It doesn't work. Or the lavdi day, not a patar. This womb can generate later on the other one's animal as well. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Boy Ravach, here comes another child. Nivchas, nivtuchu. Let's say they expanded, the walls of the womb expanded. Let's say the walls of the channel expand to the point that the newborn doesn't, he's not interacting, he's not coming into contact with the walls, he just flies right through. Mao avir rechem magdish. Shall we say the airspace is what gives it the kedusha, and you have no ikon. That's enough in this case. Idilma or negias. It's the actual contact, sliding through the walls of the rechem. That's mekatcha v'alek. In this case, you don't have it. Next question. Boy ma barhavashi neekru koisle besarechem mao. Suppose the womb was uprooted. It's dislocated. Mao. What's the aloha there? Well, if it's neekru, it's totally gone. Listen, they're not there. Okay, if it's out, it's out. So what's your shayla? I mean, you have nothing. You have no rechem. You don't even have the airspace of the... Ella, rather, we're speaking nekru, that the organ was dislocated. But totally bit savori. But while the animal's still inside, he wrapped it around the neck of the animal, so the animal sort of came out with it. My, is that considered peter rechem? Bim koimun mekachi, shall we say that the rechem only does its thing, only generates the kedusha when it's in its proper location, which it wasn't in this case. Shalabim koimer, if it's out of place, like mikachi, it can't. Or can you say shalabim koimer, not mikachi? It can have its effect even when it's out of place, and it's considered peter rechem. Next question. Boy minei Rav Yirmiyah, he asked the question of Rav Zera. Suppose the Koshle Besarechem, when Nigmu, they got thinned out due to illness or whatever, so they're there, but not properly intact. They're just thinned out, and they're... Ma, what happens now? Omar Lacy says, of course, it's a non-starter. Konagas, you've now gotten involved, the Baya, with a question, the Boilon, that we already had. The Boy Rabzeira. Some say, Boy Minei Rabzeira Rabbeasi. Back to the womb of the mother animal. Oymed Miruba Lapar. Suppose part of the womb area is missing, it's... And the remaining part, the oymed, the standing part, is more than the part, than the missing part. So part of it is gone, part of it is there. V'yotze derech paretz, and the newborn traveled through the open area, not through the standing area. Or let's say paretz meruba l'oymed, the missing part is more than the remaining part. V'yotze derech oymed, and the animal traveled through the remaining walls. Why? What's the status of this newborn? Does he have kedusha b'chor or not? So in the first case, the question seems to be that since it's mostly there, mostly intact, perhaps it's considered like Peterechem, despite the fact that he went through the hole. In the second case, he went through the, he traveled through the actual channel, but it was only a small part of it left. Most of it was gone. Perhaps it's considered like we disregarded it. So that's his question. My. Now, what pertains to us is like this. Ad kan lo yuboyle. This whole question, I only had this. This whole question was only pertaining to a case where there's some remnant. Ella parutz meruba la'omed is more breached than standing, which means to say, likamid ba'olam. There's some remaining material. This is what to talk about. Aval nigma mubar. In your case, where it's all thinned out, likamid ba'olam. There's no question. There's nothing really intact. It's all thinned out, and that's not the way it's... That's not a proper rechem. Of course, it's not going to be a proper leida, a proper peter rechem, and there will be no kedusha. Okay, continues the Mishnah on the base. We already know from the previous Mishnah, previous sugya, that if one discovers alive or lifeless animal within a mother animal after shechita, that ubar is permissible, it's perfectly edible, because the shechita of the mother, who's a kosher animal, exempts the unborn. Listen to this case. Behema shemeis ubra b'toich meyah. Suppose there was no shechita yet, okay? The mother animal was carrying an ubar, and he died while still inside the mother animal. Behema shemeis ubra, her ubar died b'teich meyah, inside her innards. The question is there a tumah? Is it considered like a separate entity? Is it like a carcass which is going to generate tumah for those who come into contact or carry it? Or shall we say, no, it's enveloped within the mother, the greater mother entity. And just like when you shech the mother, it exempts, it covers the unborn, makes it edible, mutar b'achil, likewise. You know, the mother animal who's enveloping this ubar, it's not considered part of the mother entity. So even though it's lifeless, it's not considered a nevela. It's like part of the mother's flesh. The shepherd inserts his hand and comes into contact with the lifeless ubar, whether it's a kosher animal or non-kosher animal, non-kosher, baby, baby, Torah, kosher, Torah is okay. Because that ubar, which hasn't left the mother entity, does not generate its own tumor. Rabbi Isaac, Lili, I agree on one account. Depends what family the behemoth belongs to. What type? Bitmei, if it's a non-kosher behemoth, then the ubar is tamei. Ubar tahir, if it's a kosher animal, yeah, I agree it's tahir. My time in Tanakama, what's the reason why Tanakama says every lifeless ubar is tahar? Amar Rav Chisda, it's based on logic. Kal v'chomer. Look, imoy ila imoy, la'atira v'achila. if the shechita on the mother accepts the uber, right? Whether it's alive or dead, it's part of the mother's flesh and blood, and you can eat it. Wouldn't you agree that certainly the mother animal can protect, can shield, can spear the uber from tuma, to make a Torah from becoming an avela? It's part and parcel of the mother entity. The mother is alive and well, she's tar. Likewise, her offspring. Okay, Ashkechu on Behemah Tahira. So this Kabbalah is based on a premise that the shechit of the mother can benefit the uber. Well, that only applies to a kosher animal. Okay, so based on that, likewise, if it's lifeless, it's okay. But Behemah Tmei Minolan. But by Behemah, which is not kosher, which doesn't have this idea of, you know, Ben Pekua, the shechit of the mother, you know, permits the uber to, for consumption. There's no heter by Behemah Tmei. So how do we know that our halacha of our Mishnah, i.e. shielding the uber from Tumah, will apply to Behemet Meir Menolan? Amakra, the pasuk connects the two, links the two together without differentiation. So the pasuk reads like this. So you split the pasuk into two. The pasuk which says that Nevela is Tameh starts with Chiyamus Mena Behema. That's actually Zu Behemet Meir, a non-kosher animal. The pasuk continues. Asher Lechem La'achla, of course, that's a Zu Behemet Meir, a kosher animal. And the pasuk compares the halacha of nevela between Torah and Tomei. Iskish, we now have a linkage, a connection, Behema Tmeya to Lubehema Torah. We compare Ma Behema Torah, just like Behema Torah. Ubra Torah, the offspring is Torah, based on the Kal V'Chomer, as mentioned before. Ah Behema Tmeya, likewise Behema Tmeya as well. Ubra Torah, even if the Uber is lifeless inside the live mother animal, it's Torah. Okay? Hence, according to Tanakama, it doesn't matter whether it's of this type, of that type. Even a lifeless uber inside a mother animal who's still alive is tar. Rabbi Saglilu my time. Oh, now Rabbi Saglilu differentiates. He says, well, by Behema Tmeya, you don't have this coverage. Why? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'll take you to a pasuk. The Amakra. The pasuk says, V'chol hoylech al kapav. V'chol achaya hoyleches al arba tmeimim lochem. So the pasuk makes it, the Gemara makes a drush, that the pasuk is referring to an animal within an animal. And if it's not kosher, it will have tumas nevela if it dies. So kapav, Rashi says, means she'ain parasois of sedukos. It has like a joint foot, right? Which means to say it's not split. Okay, it's a single kapayim. V'chalel ha-kapav, which means a non-kosher animal. Bichalachaya, inside. It's found inside its mother animal, who's also a chaya, ha'ilechas al arba, who walks on four, which means four, and not eight. If it was split, it would be eight, right? Each leg is like two. It's only four. So in this case, if it's an avela, it's tummy. So even the uber is tummy if it's an avela. Which is a non-kosher breed, who's still inside the chaya, who's a non-kosher breed, the Torah applies tumah to it, as per that pasuk, which is speaking about an avela. So here we go. A lifeless uber of a non-kosher variety is tameh. Says the Gemara. Now, if it depends on what his feet look like, whether they're split or not, Elmiyat, if that's the case, kolot b'mei paro, l'tame. If I have a kolot inside the paro, so the mother animal is kosher, it's a paro, a cow. But the uber turns out to be a kolot with merged, joined hooves. That's halachal kapav. Should be tame if he's lifeless, even in the innards of his mother. So even though it's a kosher variety, but if it depends on what his hooves look like, you should be tummy. And Reis Aglili, the Mishnah doesn't seem to say that. He seems to say that if it's a Behema Torah, you're okay. Right? I mean, if that's the case, if that's the determining factor, kolot b'mei paro, an animal, an unborn, who doesn't have split hooves, who's in the womb of a kosher mother animal, he tamei. If he dies, he should become tamei. The malchik ha'payim, b'chayu. He's malchik ha'payim, inside a chaya, right? Malchik ha'payim b'chayu. Says the Gemara. No, it doesn't really fit the description of the pasuk in terms of what has tuma. Malchik ha'payim, malchik arba. Pasuk says it's malchik ha'payim. Inside a chaya, only has four, but the parah has eight, because her feet are split, right? Her hooves are split. In this case, you have malchi arba. True, the unborn is a four-legged, because he's not split, but his mother is an eight-legged. Malchi shmeinu. So it's different. Okay, fine. What about another case? Para b'mei gomo. Loite tame. Let's go the other way. If you have a camel, inside which you discover an unborn creature looking like a para. Right? The para is sort of an eight-legged, right? It shouldn't become tummy. Why? It doesn't fit the criteria of the pasuk, the mahalchi shmoin, the mahalchi arbahu. It's eight inside four. And the pasuk seems to say only four and four is tummy. So as the Gemara, the pasuk says hoylech v'kol hoylech al kapav. The extra v'kol covers our case. The rabbi's para make gomel covers our case of the para inside the gomel to make a tamei. Okay, what about kolot make kluta the tamei? You have an animal of the cow family. A kluta happens to be that her hooves are not split. So happens, anomaly, right? And likewise, her unborn presents the same way. He's also a kolot. Now we know they're both kosher. They're according to the Shittas Chachamim, it's kosher, it's a kosher variety. But since it's four and four, four-legged inside another four-legged, that corresponds with the description of the pasuk, and now you have tumah. Call it mekluta litami. And by the way, when we say tumah, it means to say if the unborn is found lifeless, right? Okay. The malchi arba, it's four inside four. Answers the Gemara, yeah, you're right. But lahochi ahanakal b'chay medarev chista. For this specific case, we can go back to that Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chisda, which we studied right at the beginning of our section here. That by a fully kosher presentation, a fully kosher package, you can apply simple logic. A cow inside a cow. Well, if the shechita of the mother animal can exempt the unborn and permit it for consumption, certainly regarding tumah, it can shield it. So that addresses this case. Maskevler of Achad Vibar Ami, I have one more case, one more question to ask you about. According to you, the condition is four inside four. What about a chazir, a swine, who has eight, right? Split hooves. B'mei chazirta, inside a mother chazir, so it's eight and eight. Loi letame, there should be no tumah in this case. Why? It doesn't really conform to our description. Here it's eight inside eight. Malchi shmoina, it's an eight-legged. Malchi shmoina, inside an eight-legged hoof. So now we're stuck. If Rabbi Yitzchak Lili's distinction, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili's halach, that if it's a lifeless uber inside a behemoth tmeya, its tummy is based on fact this pasuk, it doesn't really correspond to all the cases. Ella, rather, we're going to shift gears to a different pasuk to prove this very same point. Ella, Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, mihach, it's based on the following pasuk. Nefesh ki siga b'chosh tamei, oy b'nivlas chaya tmeya. Person comes into contact with impurities, a dead animal, so a carcass of a unkosher chaya, unkosher behemoth, okay, so it becomes tummy, etc. Now, here comes an obvious question. Why are we specifying that the nevela happens to be a dead, non-kosher animal? Is that the only nevela? That's metame? V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metame? Only a nevela behema tmeya generates tuma? Uba tahira and a carcass of a kosher animal. Loi metame doesn't generate tuma? Of course it does. We have another pasuk which says that even a kosher animal, pasuk Yud-Aleph pasuk lametez, it says v'chi yamas mena behema. An edible animal, kosher animal, if it dies, isn't available, it's tame. Ella, rather, the pasuk is making a point regarding the uber, the lifeless, unborn animal. And over there we have a differentiation, a distinction between if it's a tmeya or tahir. Elo, eze, ze, rather, which nevelo has this distinctive differentiation between tahir and tmeya? Is the uber, that's a lifeless, unborn. Shebet tmeya, tmeya. That if it's of the tummy variety, it's tummy. Uvetahira. So it's, if it's inside a tmeya, it's tummy. Uvetahira. If it's inside a tahar animal, then it's tahar. Very clear distinction between the two classes of animals. Ask the Gemara, okay, if it's so clear and straightforward, so why do we need that first pasuk? B'chol hoylech al kapav, b'chol achay. U'ma'achar denafkali midirav nachm bar yitzel. Once we have this second pasuk as our clear source for this distinction between tahar and tameh. So that begs the question, Rabbi Yitzchak Lomeli, why do we need that first pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak? Answers the Gemara. You know why? He loved Rabbi Yitzchak. If not for Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, which gives us that opening, it makes that declaration, that statement, to teach us that, hey, it's not so simple. Not every unborn is shielded from tuma. It depends if it's a behema tmeya, hoylech al kapa v'chol achaya, then yeah, there is tuma there, right? So if not for that pasuk, that gives us sort of the general outline. Don't connect to hirot tmeya. Don't make that hekesh of the Tanakam. Tanakam had a clear linkage between the two. Don't differentiate between Behema Tmeya, Behema Tahira. Whatever applies there, the unborn by the Tahira is Tahir, likewise by the Tmeya. But comes the Pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak and says, Kol Eilach HaKapo, B'chol HaChayit, they tell you, no, you can't connect the two things. They run different systems. So that's a general outline. And based on that, we can go take it further to the next pasuk, just mentioned here, Menachem Bar Yitzchak, which is coming to address another issue of the Chazir and the Chazir, right? The Chazir b'mei Chazir, which was left as an open question, right? We got stuck on that. So this pasuk sort of shores it up and explains to us that in fact, all types of non-kosher animals run this track. So that's why we need both psukim. It's a 1-2 punch. Ilav de Rabbi Yitzchak, not for the first pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak, which gives us the general concept that a behema tmeya is different. However, I would say, if only from the second pasuk, kulei lekud Rabbi do also. It's coming to teach us something else entirely. Rabbi's halacha, which we'll see tomorrow, b'ezras Hashem. And there's no hint or inkling regarding our discussion of the unborn, the status of the lifeless unborn. Kamash malam. So now that we have Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, well, a tummy within a tummy can have tumma. But we got stuck because we didn't really address all the chazir and the chazirta. Comes a second pasuk, Nefesh HaKitiga, which says, guess what? If it's a tummy variety, it has tumma all throughout and covers all situations of unborns, a lifeless unborns within a behema tmeya. Okay, so in a nutshell, you have the uber, it's lifeless inside the mother animal. What is the status? According to Tanakama, it's always going to be tar. According to Bisaglili, depends what family belongs to. Behema tar, yes. Behema tmeya, not. It's based on the psukah. In the Amud Aleph, we discussed Kedushas HaBachor, which is activated upon reaching the 51% mark, a majority of Leda. We had a shadow regarding the leg that was partially born. Does it connect to the greater entity or not? We had a shadow regarding all types of chatzitza issues and missing rechems in terms of whether or not there's Kedushas HaBachor. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.